Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are trying to understand the prayer Jesus taught, the Lord's Prayer. As part of studying the personality, teaching and life of Jesus, we have started analyzing the prayer Jesus taught. He has taught us how not to pray, and he has taught also how to pray. This is how you should pray, he said his disciples. And the prayer is to be addressed to the Father. And Jesus taught us to call God Father. And we have seen that this was, as such, not something new for an Israelite. Because people of Israel considered themselves as the children of God and God as the Father of Israel. Hosea and Isaiah and many other prophets again and again taught these people that they have God as the Father. God is the Father of Israel. But then, in the way Jesus taught this prayer, has something totally new, something that was shocking for the Jews. When Jesus called God Father, he had a totally different understanding of the father-son relationship. That's why Jesus was threatened with stoning. The Jews were shocked by this address and they hated him and wanted to kill him. I take two instances from the Gospel of John. The first is in chapter 5. After the healing of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, on a Sabbath day, there was a dispute between the Pharisees and Jesus. And during this dispute, Jesus told them, in chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them, "My Father is still at work, and I am also working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. Calling God his own Father and making thereby himself equal to God. So when Jesus addressed God as Father, it was something new, something strange, something incredible, unbelievable for them. And the word Jesus used in this prayer was Abba. That is the word coming from a familiar context. It's the word the child uses to address the father. That's daddy or dad, my dearest papa. So Jesus had a personal, intimate relation with God as a child has to his father. And when Jesus talked about God as my Father, the hearers, the audience understood that there is something new. It's not similar to what the Jews said, God is our Father. For Jesus, it is a personal relationship. He and his Father are the same, one and the same. Again, in chapter 10, in the long dispute that comes after the Good Shepherd parable, the Jews tried to kill him. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It's not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." So when Jesus calls God Abba, the Jews understand that he is claiming a particular personal relationship with God that nobody else had or ever dared to have. So this is what Jesus tells. God is my Father. It's the same relationship Jesus is giving to his disciples. So when Jesus tells the disciples, "You pray like this, as I pray, then call God Abba, Father." So for Jesus, the relation to the Father is natural. He is the natural Son of God. And we, the disciples, are given this sonship as a gift of grace. So much so that we come to a similar relationship to the Father. And we are entitled to call God Abba. As Jesus called Father God his Abba, so we are called, also told to call, to pray to God as Abba. So the relationship is clear. And by this Jesus is telling, you are no more orphans. You are not aliens. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. You are the sons, the heirs of his kingdom. You are the sons of God. You are precious to me, as Isaiah would say, the word of God. So nobody has ever to feel himself or herself as an orphan, as an unwanted child. Everybody belongs to God. And everybody is given the right to become the child of God, as in John prologue. Everybody who believes in him, he has given the power to become the children of God. And this power is being exercised in addressing God Abba. Now, this points out the relationship, the close relationship each one has with God. But now, that doesn't stop there. Jesus tells that God is Father, but the Father in heaven. Not as a physical, natural parent of a human father. So this Father God is a God in heaven. And what does it mean, God in heaven? Heaven is considered as a place somewhere up, above. And we look up to heaven. Is that something up there? Or is it something else? The concept that heaven is above comes from a geographical or cosmological understanding of the Jews of the time. They considered the earth as a plain land, a sphere, and the sky hovering over the earth. And above the sky, you have the heavens, the abode of God. It's something like an upturned cup, the sky. And above the sky, you have the house, the home of God. And such concept is a poetic concept, and we can see it in the psalm. For example, Psalm 104. The Psalm 104 speaks about this cosmological concept in a very interesting poetic form. Verses 2 and 3. You are wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. So the sky is spread out like a tent, and above the tent, the sky, you have the waters, and above the waters, God has fixed his abode. This is a poetic way of understanding, and not to be understood physically. Now, what is this heaven? Heaven, saying that heaven is up. First of all, it means a distinction between man and God, between nature and supernature, between earth and heaven. Of course, there is a closeness when you call Abba, but at the same time, there is a distinction and distance, the difference between man and God. He is in heaven. He is heavenly. He is of a totally different nature. As in Hosea, God would say, I am not man, I am God. Heaven is above and we are below. Heaven means holiness, distinct, separate from us. At the same time, he is close to us. Another aspect of this heaven is that heaven is up, meaning that he is above all. That God has his power over everything. He is in the heaven. He is all powerful. Again, the one who is in heaven sees everything. We know the higher we go up, the more wider. The wider becomes the perspective. From a hilltop, we see a greater plain. And from an aeroplane, you can see much more. And from the satellite, we see more. So the higher you go, the wider your vision. And the one who is the highest has sees everything. He sees everything in the depths and in the width. So God in heaven, our Father in heaven, is the one who is all-powerful, is the one who is almighty and all-knowing and all-present, omnipresent. He is present everywhere. He can do everything and he knows everything. And in this way, he is totally different, distinct from us, but at the same time, he is our Father, Abba. So God who is near and God who is far. The immanent God and the transcendent God. The immanence and transcendence are put together in God, Father, Abba in heaven. There's one more adjective to this God. Jesus adds, our Father in heaven. So Jesus spoke about God as my Father. And when he speaks about God to his disciples, he says, your Father, my Father and your Father, you in plural. And now he teaches them to pray our Father. Each individual belongs to a community. No person is an island. In the eyes of God, he belongs to a family. The entire humanity belongs to the human family. And every human being can call God as our Father. So this brings in two aspects. The entire humanity belongs to God as a family. That is the first thing. We all call God, maybe with different names, but the same God. And this same God is the Father of all. Not only my Father, but your Father, everybody's Father. So we don't have to be afraid of this God. We are not slaves. We are not aliens. We are the beloved children of this God. So we belong to a family. We are a family. At the same time, this tells us also that we are responsible for our brothers and sisters. I cannot stand before God alone. I stand with the entire humanity. All the human beings, to whatever religion or race or culture or creed they belong, they all belong to me as family members. They are my brothers and sisters. This is the awareness that Jesus brings to us when he tells us, pray like this. The first thing he tells us that you are God's children and you are a brother and a sister to the entire humanity. So we as a human family come before God. And this prayer unites us. This unites us as a family members. So we are not to fight against each other for no reason whatsoever. Maybe we profess different religions. We profess different parties. We belong to different political allegiance or political parties. Our perception of reality might be different. But above and beyond all this, we are children of God. And the moment we start praying, we bring the entire humanity with us before God. We stand before God as brothers and sisters. And there we have the kingdom of God present. So the first address puts us in a mood of prayer. God as the dearest Father, as the Abba, the one who is close to us, but at the same time who is distinct from us. So we have to be loving, we have to be affectionate, call God Abba, at the same time respectful, religious, oh, there should be. God is our Father, but our Father in heaven. He is all-powerful, so when we pray, we believe that he hears us, that he knows us, and he is capable of giving what we need. And we should be also aware that we belong to a community. So I cannot pray for myself alone. When I pray for the entire humanity. And what is the prayer? Now, after this invocation, there come seven petitions, one after the other. The first three petitions concern God and his kingdom and his name, his will. And then the four petitions concern the day-to-day existence, the need of individuals. And we'll have to analyze each of these petitions in detail to understand what Jesus means and then to pray with that mentality. So the first petition is, Jesus tells us, "Hallowed be thy name be made holy." What does this name mean? Name means the person. God in himself is holy. His holiness cannot be taken away. His holiness cannot be tarnished in itself. God is totally other. I am God, not man. He is above and he cannot be anyhow blemished. But at the same time, the name means also a kind of mediation between the unapproachable light and this world. The Jews had a great awe of God, so much so they did not dare to use the name of God. God had revealed his name to Moses in the context of Exodus. That is in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, when Moses was called and sent out the mission of liberating the people, Moses asked, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus shall you tell the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am, Yahweh is the name. So this name was revealed. But the people, because of the great respect for the holiness of God, they never dared to use this name. They were saying Adonai. But then later on, in order to say God, they would say his name. In order to say God, they would say heaven. So much so that in the book of Deuteronomy, it is that God establishes his name in Jerusalem. God does not dwell on the earth, but he makes his name dwell on this earth. Name is only another way of saying God. So let thy name be made holy means, Father, let thy holiness be made manifest. And also another way of saying, let your holiness never be tarnished through us. We'll come to this in our next meditation for a deeper understanding. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for making us your children. We thank you for allowing us to call you Father. Father, we are called in your name. We are called to be your children. Enable us to live in such a way as through our lives, through our dealings, your name may be made known, your glory and your holiness may be manifest throughout the world. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.